many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Please remain standing open our eyes, Lord.
Let's sing intro to the Word of God. Open our eyes, Lord.
Indeed, Father, we want Jesus to be seen, to be lifted up as he already has been in word and song. But continue, Lord, send your Holy Spirit. Come especially close. May your words penetrate our hearts and give us new life today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, choristers. Thank you, congregation. You may be seated. All right. All right, if you will turn in your scriptures to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. By the way, happy Sabbath. Well, let's try it one more time. Happy Sabbath. Oh, it sounds even better. Oh, music to a pastor's ears. Isaiah chapter 9, so here we are 700 years before Christ. Isaiah is writing. And who is he writing about? Very clearly, he is writing about the Christ child. So our sermon today is going to be a reading and then a song, a reading and a song. So I hope you're blessed by both the readings and the songs today. I was also asked to announce that the offering, the special offering, will be taken at the end of the service, just to make sure that that was clear. And I believe the basket will be up front. That's what we usually do for this special offering. So if you're in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Our sermon title, by the way, is called Wonderful. Now, the word wonderful, as Merriam-Webster would say, has lost its wonder because it used to mean something that it doesn't always mean today. Today we say, oh, I had a wonderful sandwich. That's not what wonderful meant back in the Bible times. It meant in awe of, inspiring, staggering. And it could be bad or good, the word wonderful, in the Bible. So it's a little different. So that's the sermon title. And as I say, it's a little different than the way we use it today. When it is in the positive in the Bible, it's awe-inspiring and praiseworthy. All right, that's wonderful, and we see that in verse 6, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, not lent, but given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, there it is, Wonderful Counselor, or Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful. Wonderful in his creative power. wonderful in his condescension. Think of it. One who is equal with God would give up his godness, so to speak, and come down, be willing to give that up and come down and become one of us. Wonderful in his person and in the glory and beauty of it, that he should be God and man in one person, two natures so different from each other, united in him, that he, being truly God, should become truly man and be born of a virgin. Wonderful in the disposition of his mind, fighting a real battle with eternal risk and winning a wonderful victory for us. Wonderful in his love to his people and sympathy with them. Wonderful in his death, that he should die at all, the Prince of life, the Lord of life and glory, that he should die with his own consent and with the Father's consent, and that for sinners, even for the chief of sinners. And by dying, procure life for us, abolishing death, destroying him that had the power of it, that is the devil, and obtaining eternal salvation and redemption. Wonderful in his resurrection from the dead, which was by his own power, by the way, at the time signified by types and prophecies, and with the same body exceeding glorious. Wonderful in his ascension to heaven, both in the manner of it, in the cloud, and in the effects of it, both receiving gifts for men and giving gifts to them. And in his entrance to heaven, holding back the adoration of the angels until he knew that his sacrifice for you was sufficient. And now seated at the right hand of God and interceding for us, wonderful will be his second coming. The signs of it are many and marvelous, and the manner of it wonderfully glorious. Wonderful in his eternal reign, and the manner of it, as he will dwell with his people forever and ever, Son of God and Son of Man. There before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ, the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore.
Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee. The Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore.
Forevermore.
Nowhere. see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Noel.
Then in the book of Luke, so now we go to the time of Christ. Dr. Luke, chapter 1, verse 28 writes this: the story of amazing love when the light of the world was given to us, as we just read, had its start on earth, at least, in a very ordinary way. Think about it. An ordinary town, a very ordinary way, until the angel appeared. And by the way, this is not fable. This is not fantasy land, right? These are real places and real historical figures, right? Along with Christ. This is, I sometimes around Christmas, it almost seems like, it's make-believe land or something. This is not, friends. This is reality. So please keep that in mind. So the angel appears to a young teenager with a very common name, and that name is Mary. And not just any angel, right? But the mighty angel Gabriel is the one that comes forth and says this: rejoice, highly favored one. This is verse 28 of chapter 1 of Luke. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And her response, well, what would your response be? She was troubled. What does this mean? But the angel went on in verse 30 to say, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And this son would be no ordinary son. Verse 32 says, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary's response, looking at this scenario, she's in wonder, in awe and wonder, maybe even beyond wonder. She said, behold, I am a handmaiden that is a humble and dedicated servant of the Lord, the supreme master and ruler of all. May it be, or may it come into existence according to your saying, Gabriel. What a response to the divine initiative of God. It is almost as if Mary said, amen, so be it, to the word of God. You know, Mary's experience can seem far away from ours, but let's examine it. She was highly favored. She was graced. And so are you. Ephesians 1 says, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. She was confronted with a decision. Do I believe that God can dwell in me by faith? Now, obviously, her decision is not exactly like ours, but catch the parallels. You know, Martin Luther once said there are three miracles of the nativity: that God became man, that a virgin conceived, and that Mary believed. What is your response? Will you be submissive and follow Christ and allow him to be born in you today?
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to happen. hide? Is the shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is He, blessed am I.
Amen. May Christ be born in us today. Amen. Luke chapter 2, we read that it was in the time of Gaius Octavius, or Octavian, otherwise known as AKA Caesar Augustus. Those are both titles. The August one that the people of God would never use for any human being. They thought it was only for God, but he was calling himself that. Joseph and Mary went out of the city of Nazareth and made the arduous journey, especially for a pregnant woman. Men, think about telling your pregnant wife, ready to give birth, let's go on an 80-mile trip on horseback. That wouldn't go over well. But they went to Bethlehem, the city of David, that they should be registered there, and it was there that Mary would deliver the baby Jesus. It was as if they were like any other ordinary couple, but they were not any ordinary couple with any ordinary baby. This baby was born much in the usual way, other than conception, but was also a king. Anyone with understanding of the scenario that was unfolding would be left with the question, what child is this? Common shepherds in nearby fields were attending their flocks, and they were visited by angels and told in verse 10, chapter 2, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people." Now, they don't say that about any ordinary baby. Verse 11 says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, Christ the Lord." A Savior baby? What kind of child is this? Well, shepherds, once they had seen the child, King, Savior, told everyone about the child. Verse 18 says that those that heard their words wondered, or marveled, or were in awe. Matthew 2, verse 1 and onward is the story of the wise men or the magi. By the way, there weren't just three. Probably, some scholars say hundreds would have come. These would have been the precursors of where modern Islamists come from these days. And they were guided by a star. At that point, Jesus was probably more than a year old, but less than two. They came in awe, wondering, what child is this? Indeed, they were looking for the Messiah, the true governor of Israel. And when they found the child, they did two things. As they were filled with joy, they fell down and worshiped and gave gifts. That is, they humbled themselves and acknowledged him as Lord. The song, "What Child Is This?" So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. The Savior awaits your response.
What child is on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. The King whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him by the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasants. the King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ, the King, who shepherds guard and angels sing. Him through the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of
Well, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans spent nearly three chapters painting a very dark picture of humanity as we are without Christ. But then near the end of Romans 3, he says this, "But now the righteousness of God is manifested, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. And it is at the birth of Jesus that the light of his righteousness truly begins to shine and break through the darkness. Long lay the world in sin and darkness pining." It's an old word we don't use much, but that is in decline, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Friend, what is the worth of a soul? Well, it can only be measured by the price paid for that soul. God felt like you were worth the price he paid. Now, that should stagger us a little bit, because what was that price? Infinite. He paid it for us, friends. He believes you're worth it. And I wouldn't argue with him about values, would you? The coming down, the risk of heaven in sending Christ down to this dark earth, the cost of the suffering and anguish of our Savior. At one point, he couldn't even see any hope of himself being resurrected, couldn't see through the portals of the tomb. His death on behalf of your sins and mine all speak to the value he sees in you. Amen? The song goes on to say that in contrast to pining away, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Indeed, the morning has come in the person of Christ. It goes on to say, truly he has taught us to do what? Anybody remember? Love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is now our brother. Come on and say amen. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. Do you long for that day, friends? It's coming. And this is what we have to look forward to. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus we raise. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim. Friends, that is the call to you and me today. God is calling us to respond in faith. He's calling us to live like we know that we have a Savior, to praise God with all that is within us, to proclaim his mighty power in all that we do on this earth, whether you're a student, whether you have a job, and working that job, in your family, in the grocery store, wherever you go today, won't you decide to ask him to give you a spirit of praise for a spirit of heaviness? Imagine if this church actually showed the world that life with God, even with its trials and tribulations, is far better than anything on earth. May his holy night lead to our praise-filled and holy lives.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
His holy name, rise.
Amen. Amen. Well, I go back to where we started as we close today. Isaiah prophesying the event, the first coming of the incarnation of Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall rest upon his shoulders. We need not worry about our earthly governments, although it may cause us some consternation. But the true government is upon his shoulders. Amen? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, how is Jesus called the Everlasting Father? Well, he's the Father of the human race. Amen? He's the second and last Adam. Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government and peace. The throne of David, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. Then in the book of Luke, we looked at this also. The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you great news or good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David is born for you a Savior, who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord." And when the Savior came, he took flesh and blood that he might die, Hebrews 2 tells us, and that through death he might render powerless him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and that he might free those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He became the Goel, right, the nearest of kin. The book of Ruth shares it with us. He lived a perfect life in the flesh, which he offers to you today. He died or tasted death for every man, and that is yours for the receiving. Christ, having been offered up once for the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin for those who joyously and eagerly await for him. And so, this time, we join in words together of joy to the world, or we will hear in just a moment. But first, listen to what Peter says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us," or made us alive again with a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Goes on to say this, "wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen," they had not seen him, "you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." As Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Amen? Amen. Joy to the world. We close. Our choristers come out and lead us at this time. Thank you. Go this way.
We're going to sing a song of contemplation. We're going to have the three girls singing with us. I invite all the congregation to please stand up. We're going to sing Joy to the World, hymn number 125. Sing with us.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us
Jude closes his book out. By the way, they are planning to take that offering at the end up front, I believe. I don't see the baskets yet, but I believe they're on their way. So. What's that? Oh, they're the baskets. How could I miss it? Oh my God, they're huge. Okay, all right. Well, here's what Jude closes out his book and says this: "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Amen. "And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Whose joy? I think both, maybe, right? He's joyous. Probably we're joyous also. "With exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever." Let's pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, the offering is free to be taken there. Okay, thank you.